Hello and welcome to the Conscious Consulting Podcast, where we will introduce you to the Conscious Consulting philosophy. Together with our senior advisors from all around the world, we blend the deep knowing of wisdom traditions, technology, modern science, and business, and show you how to transform this wisdom into impact in your daily life as a consultant, leader, or entrepreneur. Welcome to the CCG community.
Today, I want to welcome Lisa Maria Centeno at the Conscious Consulting Podcast. Lisa is a passionate builder and creator. She's convinced that everyone should create and realize what he or she dreams of. She has made it her purpose to help people build and create their own businesses and brand and manifest their vision. She does this in different ways. She's an expert in social media marketing, in business development, digital business, and entrepreneurship and mindfulness. She has herself built several businesses, and now she's also working at CCG as a business developer, as junior consultant, and as a podcast host. You might have heard her before. Almost 2 years ago, she founded Business Basics, a platform and a podcast around the topics of entrepreneurship, marketing, founding and growing a business. Her podcast is highly successful and was acclaimed among the 10 best businesses podcasts globally. Today, I'd like to talk with her about her own experience as an entrepreneur and what she wants to bring to the world of entrepreneurship and how she's going to help them. We will also talk about what conscious entrepreneurship means to her and what are maybe the key secrets to entrepreneurship, to having a great life, to making your dreams come true. And I'm very happy to welcome Lisa right now. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the Conscious Consulting Podcast.
Hi. Hi, Julia. Good to be here.
You are convinced that everyone should create and realize what he or she dreams of. And you have made it your purpose to help people build and create their own businesses and brand and manifest their vision. So why is that? Why are you so into helping other people in realizing their visions and their dreams? Why do you think that everybody should create and make their own dreams true?
So thank you so much for your kind words, Julia. It was the best introduction ever. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I can really learn something from you as a podcast interviewer. A lot to take, a lot to process also for me. But I think why I made this, or I detected this as my purpose, to help other people find their vision and pursue the dreams and the vision and help them develop a business, is because of my own experience. And in my own experience, I saw that self-efficiency is the most powerful tool we have. For me, at least, it is. Like taking back the ownership of creating our own lives, creating our own path, creating itself is just a wonderful tool and expression of ourselves. And yeah, many times this expression of ourselves happens in solving our own problems. And by that, we create our own businesses. So yeah, I mean, it sounds very technical to help people start and grow their businesses and to help them pursue their way, their entrepreneurial way. But I think it comes down to guiding people and to help them in their self-expression by becoming self-efficient and creating solutions for their own problems. And by that, we don't only help ourselves, we also can help other people as well. And this is where the magic happens, I think. Not only making a positive impact for your own life, but also doing it while you make a positive impact for other people as well.
That's beautiful, because you know, creating a business is not about business, basically. It's about your own deepest desire. It's about your purpose. It's about what you want to bring to life, and to manifest it in a skillful way, in a mastery, is really important, not just to dream about things, but also make things happen. And I experience you also as a very hands-on person. So you're not a dreamer who talks about purpose. You're also very skillful in making things happen, in doing things, in producing something. which is really important because so many people have their ideas, but then nothing really ever gets done. And I think maybe this is what you talk about, self-efficacy. But talking about this, we see a lot of young people who want to do this, but there's also this problem of, as you say, burnout and stress, and also maybe self-exploitation, where people, as you told me, go into this startup scene that can be quite toxic. And I would like to ask a little bit, how is it like for your peer group? You are now in your later 20s, not even 30, but how is it? What was your experience in the startup world? What was your idea first, and how was reality? And how do you also see other people maybe struggling with this difference between wanting to make things happen and the reality of a very tough situation?
Yeah, such a good question. I was very young when I encountered the startup environment, I would say. Like, I didn't really thought about what is entrepreneurship, what are startups, what is founding. I just wanted to realize one very simple, nice idea of this art marketplace for contemporary young artists. And then I encountered the startups world, I guess, startup scene, startup world in Austria and Vienna especially. And I found it very, destructive, a highly destructive environment. And I think this is only my personal experience. There are many different experiences, of course, but for sure I'm not the only one who experienced it that way. And it is a very toxic and destructive experience, or startup world, or business paradigm that is happening there. And I think many people struggle because they get in there with their idealisms, with their visions. And many people are really young when they go there without having the mentally strong foundation that is maybe needed there. So you get instantly evaluated by your idea. You get instantly judged. Is it good? Is it bad? Has it potential? Has it not potential? And not only you, not only your business get judged, but also you as a founder. Are you good enough? Are you not good enough? What are the others doing? This world of comparison at first can be very destructive if you don't have the right tools to deal with it. And I see another really big issue in the startup world with all of this growth insanity, like this growth at all costs paradigm that our business world is built on. And many more and more young people say, is it really true? Do I really have to grow that way, that fast, or even grow at all? And I think what maybe my generation is bringing in is maybe we're demanding a different perspective on business as usual. And questioning maybe the status quo of how things are done. And I'm very lucky to be an entrepreneur in this era.
It's very interesting listening to you. I just think that it could be that there's also generations coming together. So a lot of founders are very young in your generations, but a lot of the investors are maybe more my generation, like in their 40s or 50s even. And maybe it could be that they come from their own paradigm of scaling is important and growing. And it could be that they demand this from the younger generation to also go into this like scaling exit, as you say, insanity. And I think insanity is maybe a very good word, because people become actually sick. I mean, really physically sick. As we said, they burn out. And you talk a lot about in your podcast, also about grounding before scaling. Do you want to talk a little bit more about this, what you mean by grounding, why it is so important, maybe also for our listeners? To get some like specific tools that you talk about that can help to not, you know, go into this toxicity and maybe more listen to themselves and to their own needs.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing this in. This is really one of my favorite core topics that I'm talking about in my podcast. And again, it really comes down to something I would have needed back then when I started my first startup when I was 21, 22. Grounding before scaling. As I mentioned before, like growing is the number one parameter for success in startup or the business world. So even before we even started, we always think about scaling first. So, and this is also one of the first steps when you Google like how to start a business, your marketing plan or your growth strategy should be already implemented and known even before you have started. And for me, I made the same experience. So I wrote this very long business plan of 80 pages without even talking to one customer or without even knowing my values that I want to bring in. And now as I get older and having more experience and knowing myself better, becoming more conscious of myself, of what I'm doing, what I'm bringing into this world, I realized that the grounding is such an essential part in the business process that, I don't know, nobody talks about. Maybe people talk about it a little bit with purpose, but also purpose is very in the outside and grounding goes very, very in the inside. Inside and then deep down. And so for me, it helped me a lot to focus first on the grounding and focus on why are you here? What are your values? What do you want to bring into the world? And really deepen down these roots. Like I very often use analogies of the nature, like of a tree, for example. And when you plant a seed, it goes down first before it becomes visible to the outside world. And I think that's a wonderful way to see and to do business as well, just to go inside first and deep down to strengthen your roots and then go in the outside world. Because only when you have strong roots, when you have this strong foundation, you can get in the outside world, in the world of comparison, of valuation, competition, and be not drained away by every little storm that is hitting your way. And this is something I would have needed when I was 21, 22. I was like this, I don't know, feather in the wind. Like I just wanted to do something, but then there's this and this mentor says this and this incubator says this. And in the end, we have been at a pitching event for 3 days and we came with a totally different business than it was before. And sometimes that's very necessary. Sometimes it's very destructive. And by grounding and knowing your values, you will know the difference. And yeah, and that's why it's grounding before scaling. And it's very, very necessary to have both of it. So you need the scaling, even if it's not like the high scale up or this massive growth, but just the improvement on the way, the constant development. This is what is meant by scaling. But also this grounding. So these two are really key components for business basics. And also a reason why business basics called basics, it's not because we're like only dealing with the basics here and basic knowledge, but what is the foundation, the fundamental key aspects of a business? And yeah, with a strong foundation, a strong grounding, it's easier to grow. And I always say, create a business so grounded it will scale itself.
That's beautiful. And on your website, you write that you give people know-how, inspiration, and emotional guidance. And I think that very much talks to what you just said, that it's always a combination of a, as you said, technical mastery of knowing how to do things and to master them, to know the business you are in, and to understand the tools, to use them rightly. But what's maybe even more important is to move away a little bit from the technical part, because that's not enough. Just to know the technology to be very good in strategy doesn't make a business great. It's also yourself, you as a person, very much invested. And you talk a lot about this emotional guidance, which means that you as a person need to be grounded, as you just explained to us. And that's ideally the combination of both, to have the know-how and the emotional stamina, the emotional reflection. And you more and more move into the idea of conscious entrepreneurship, which I think strongly also talks to the person and brings in you as a person, and not only you as a means to an end for making a business, but who you really are. And you can see that this is it's a huge challenge, because the world we're so much torn away by, as I say, by competition, by feedback. Social media maybe is not always helpful. It forces you to be very much outside of yourself, to very much listen to other people, be validated by others, and just respond to what people say. And suddenly you forget about yourself, you forget about your own identity, and it has to be brought back. So when you talk about emotional guidance and conscious entrepreneurship, what do you think is the key challenges people are facing there? What are the questions people address you with? I mean, you get a lot of questions, feedback from your podcast, you get people ask you to help them and to support them, to coach them. How do you see what kind of emotional guidance is most needed right now, and how can you help people there?
I think, yeah, it's really interesting, because I very much overlooked the emotional guidance at first, even though it is something that I also would have needed back then. But I started the podcast very driven with my knowledge from social media and business development, and with a lot of strategies and tactics from the startup world that is not so common in the small business world. These two have huge differences actually in their approach. And I started by combining them. And more in the process of my podcast, of the development of Business Basics, I got more and more evolved in this emotional guidance topic, because I also needed it at that moment. So very often, I think entrepreneurs, and I do it myself, we create something we need ourselves. And in this moment, when I create a podcast episode of emotional guidance, it's also because I need it. And I had this immense imposter syndrome while talking about it, because I should have been the one who knows the answers and tell other people how to do it. And I shouldn't struggle with those things. But as I opened up about this emotional guidance topic, about how to stay maybe consistent or motivated, what are the pitfalls and how to deal with the pitfalls of entrepreneurship, and things like this business roller coaster I wrote about recently, I got more and more questions about the same topics. So many more and more people approached me and told me it's so hard for me, this process. And I want to quit before I even started because there's so much doubt in my mind. And so much fear of failure and so much unclarity. And this was really a waking up point for me as well, becoming a bit more conscious about what I am actually doing there. As I opened up and many people could open up themselves. And so this emotional guidance topic became more and more asked and demanded on the podcast. And I think it is also because very few people talk about it. I mean, we're opening up more and more and more. And thanks to Brené Brown, we're talking about vulnerability and being really who we are and admitting that sometimes things do not go our way. But even really addressing it and saying out loud in an open space or a podcast that I struggle with this and this and that. I think many people have this feeling, oh, I'm not alone. And yeah, again, I really wish I would have heard this when I was 21, 22. Things would have been different.
And it is difficult because we have this glamour Instagram world. We see so many successful, like 30 under 30 entrepreneurs, people are who have raised this money and have been that successful and so on. You don't see the struggle behind. You don't see all the people who didn't make it and who go another way. And you also not only have the podcast, you're also a writer. So you're going to publish your first book and you've also been selected an author in Medium in the entrepreneurship community, which has a huge community. So you have a global reach with your topics. And I think it's maybe because you have your own experience, because you open up about it and you're also young. So you're the same generation. So there's a total other, I'd say, level that you can address other people. I think it's enormously important to build on that. And as you said, it's so much needed on different levels, but also from your peer group, like you can hear things in a different way. So I think this is rather amazing. And I also experience you as amazingly self-reflected, and you also challenge yourself. So you look into the dark abyss, and that needs some courage. And it needs courage to talk about and to be vulnerable. And I don't think it's, you know, it's okay, it's women who talk more about the emotional parts, but I don't think so, that this is really the point, because everybody can do it. It's not a female or a male quality. It is a quality of people who move on, who move maybe beyond where they come from. So how I see you as somebody who is always like moving on and going beyond and beyond and beyond. And this is what's very inspiring for people. And there are so many podcasts around. So why is your podcast so inspiring? I can say that because I know it. And
yeah,
So you said one thing you make differently is opening up about difficult parts, about challenges you're having, also being personally invested in it, not just being, you know, the host. But still, there are so many podcasts around. And what do you think makes podcasts great from the many good or not so good podcasts around?
What makes podcasts great? I think also because you stated also my podcast as a very successful podcast, and I've been on this global ranking of the 10 female business podcasts, and have been number one on my entrepreneurship category in iTunes, and always top rated on iTunes. But also, like, this success, it comes and goes. This is very important to know when starting a podcast or doing anything. Like, on one time you're highly successful, and then on the other week you're maybe not in the charts anymore, and that's totally okay. So it really is about staying consistent because you really enjoy the process. And I think this is what many podcasts maybe lack, this consistency. Because it is a lot of work. It is really a lot of work. And many people can't manage to stay consistent over a long time. And I think this is also one aspect, because I'm doing it now for 1.5 years, every week to 2 weeks now. And I think this paired maybe with like topics like, I don't know, this grounding before scaling, Buddhist economics, respect-based marketing, maybe topics that are not so used when you think about business basics. So I once got requested that I should rename and rebrand the podcast to holistic business basics or anything, holistic business, whatever. And I said, no, it's so important to have a general name so that people who don't look for holistic topics find those topics as something that is totally normal. So maybe this is also one aspect that makes it different. But with everything that is quite successful or seems to be successful, it's always a combination of a lot of different things. So I'm also very privileged to have the time to make myself the time to have this podcast, to be able to speak different languages, to invite different people. So there are also a lot of privileges that come that are maybe a reason for the success. So, yeah.
I think you mentioned a few qualities that are anyway important for any business. Like, as you say, this staying consistent, even though you might be successful or not successful, and not be distracted by success or not success, and enjoying the process, so that the process itself is an end, and not only if it's successful, then you have reached it or it served a purpose. So alone the process is great, and this grounding and knowing why you're doing it, and of course also being well prepared for it, and there is sweat sometimes in things, sweat and maybe tears. So there's inspiration and a lot of transpiration in every business, as you say, as I would phrase it. And before I continue with the questions, as if it was normal, which I find really interesting, is one question before I would like to ask you, what did you learn from being a podcast host? Maybe not all the contents, but from the process. What did you learn from this very specific role?
It is amazing to have a platform to invite people. So this is why I would advise everyone to start a podcast, because it is incredible to be able to invite people to talk. And we do that not often enough. Actually, we don't need a podcast for that, but this is just a precious opportunity. This podcast is only just a channel. It's maybe some people see it as product themselves, but I see it also just like a channel. And there are many different channels, but I think just inviting people, connecting with people, being curious about new things, and not only talking and teaching on the podcast, because I'm also doing a lot of episodes just myself where I teach or share experiences, but also inviting and interviewing people is such a precious opportunity. I think I learned to listen a lot, and also yeah, just being open to new people, to new topics. So I always say there's this sweet spot of questioning everything that you learn and everything that you have been told or get told, but at the same time, staying open and inviting those things and not excluding anything you could learn from. So this sweet spot is really where the magic happens in podcasting as well. And yeah, it's an incredible journey. Yeah. So, and yeah, I love to be a podcast host. So.
I mean, you are a big learner too, and listening and learning is very strongly related. So you said you started to like mix in topics that are maybe not, maybe on a first layer, business topics, like business topics, because maybe business is made of a lot of non-business ingredients. Like we talked about, like emotions and your personal purpose and things like this had nothing to do with numbers and business and products and so on. It has something to do, but it's not so much spoken about. And you started to bring in topics from all different areas. And as you say, people said, well, maybe you should call it holistic or like label it differently so that people know, oops, be careful, there are also non-business topics here. So there seems that there's still like a separation between this is business and this is not business. And this is professional and this is not professional. And this is personal life and this is business life. So so as soon as you are in your businessy world, you have to be a different person, maybe not even a person anymore. And what I see is that you are integrating topics that maybe have been separated or have never been together. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about this. So what is the feedback that people also give when you come in with topics that are so non-business? And how do you see the role of these topics and the future of business? So how do you imagine business that might be a little bit different with these topics?
The feedback I get, I think people really enjoy it. And it's never totally out of context, but I think the topics I cover in the Business Basics podcast a lot, also with this emotional guidance topic, is personal mastery. You know, when I started my first startup, 21, 22, I was back then, I had one co-founder and we very quickly built up a team and we were 4, 5, 6 people building this together. But I had the idea and I considered myself as the CEO. And so I felt very... I felt responsible for the team. And I thought also my responsibility as a CEO or as a founder was to get the best out of the team. And as I went on in the process, I became very hard on myself because all of this outside pressure. And I also became very hard on the team. And what I never learned is to lead myself before I lead others. And this was something I learned in a podcast interview with the authors of Starting a Revolution. And they say this, lead yourself before you lead others. And this is really, this comes back to personal mastery. And this is also why I'm so interested, not only in business strategies or, yeah, you know, approaches, tactics, whatever, but also everything starts with you. So you are the foundation of everything that comes as a self-expression into your business. So that's why I bring a lot of, yeah, personal mastery topics, I guess. And I think my listeners really, really enjoy it. I never heard something different. But I think this maybe is also one aspect why people enjoy to listen to the podcast.
What do you think makes someone what helps to reach person mastery. We also talk about leadership, leading others, leading yourself. Person mastery is a ground. How do we gain person mastery? When we maybe bring it together with the topic of conscious entrepreneurship, that, as I know, is a topic that you are now going to explore much deeper and also go to coach people to teach them why is consciousness or why is it so important to be conscious in this context of personal mastery, and how can we get a little bit more conscious maybe as entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I think one aspect why it is so important, why it is really crucial to become conscious in as an entrepreneur or in the startup world or business world is, I mean, entrepreneurship means creating value. But many times, you know it yourself, like many times people think they are creating value, but with every profit you're doing, you're also destructive on the other side. And I think many entrepreneurs only see the profit side. They only see the impact, but they don't see maybe the cost of what they're doing. So this is, for me, the number one reason why becoming conscious about what you're doing and deepening your awareness is not only for your own personal mastery, but also for the sake of the world and of society and the humans around you. So this is why I think it is really, really crucial. And actually, I think you told me this, but in Buddhist economics, there's this term that the benefits have to outweigh the negative aspects when producing something. Maybe you can say it even better than I do.
Yeah, it says what you produce should be more valuable than what you destroy in order to produce it.
Yeah. So there you are aware that it also has a destructive side. And I think this is something many people, many entrepreneurs, many founders don't want to see or admit, that what they're doing, the impact, the gift they're bringing into the world maybe also has a negative, destructive impact. And on the other side, for yourself, becoming aware, becoming conscious about what you're doing, for me, means to stopping, really simply put, means to stop the autopilot that we're all running on and all operating from, especially in the business world. Like there are those certain parameters, there are those certain approaches, and we follow them and we follow the 5 steps to become successful, and then all our problems will be solved. And we're joining this rat race on autopilot. And then at one point we wake up and say, how did we get here? Why am I so burned out? Why am I so deeply unhappy? What am I doing here? And this is the personal aspect of deepening awareness or becoming conscious for yourself. And conscious entrepreneurship simply means for me being aware of what is, because many times entrepreneurs are so driven in the process that they only see the future. They're living in their vision. They're living in their what will be at one point when I am managing this moment right now, when I'm solving this problem. And I experience it myself. And when I'm not cautious, then I really get again into this autopilot and being unable to enjoy the process. So it's a constant, I mean, I'm by no means perfect in it or anything. It is just a process for me too. Also becoming aware means to enjoy the process of now, because now is what you are creating. And the vision is, something that is the combination of all of these small moments from the now. And I think this is also a struggle for many entrepreneurs, that they can't really enjoy the process and can't enjoy the now. And there it really comes back to this emotional guidance. And I once saw this, there was this graphics. I think it was not a painting, a graphics. And it was like on the one circle, there was like having a big vision. On the other circle, there was knowing what you're doing, so be skillful. And on the other third circle, and they all, they all touched each other.
They all overlay.
And on the last circle, there was enjoy the process. And when all of this comes together, yeah, I think this is for me also a magical moment, and where I try to guide people to, like having all three of them. And this is also like having the knowledge, the business basics, the knowledge, the know-how we talked about before, the inspiration, like the vision you're going after, you want to fulfill, and enjoying the process with the emotional guidance. Yeah.
Like say presence, and being able to experience the presence is maybe the key to everything, to a good and maybe also successful life, because you notice what's going on within you and around you. And I can very much relate with this idea of being driven and always like waiting for something to happen and doing everything in order to achieve something in the future, and that you're never there. And you think that suffering has to be, and that it's normal, and that it's part of the old. Of course, sometimes suffering is the point, but it shouldn't be like the normal state of being.
The state, yeah.
Like, as you sometimes say, business as usual doesn't have to be like business as usual. It could also be different. So you already said a lot, but I'm asking you again, maybe to be even more specific, how could, in your ideal world or vision of business, how would it feel like to be an entrepreneur, and what state would people be, and how could that look like also differently to what you experience most of the time around you? What is the different option that's there that you're also opening up in your podcast?
I mean, we have all the options were there. We're just chasing one of them. And I think what really made a big difference for me is after leaving the startup and being not so much involved in a startup world, I think it was 2016, there evolved this article. This article was written about the Zebra Manifest. And every startup founder or people who are involved in a startup scene, they know that a unicorn business is the number one. It's the North Star. Everyone wants to achieve a unicorn. And the Zebra was the opposite movement as a reaction to this craziness of the chasing the unicorn. And these are two extremes. And by sawing that there's an alternative to the unicorn, I saw that there are also a lot of things in between. So business became not this one thing, this one size fits all, but it became a spectrum for me. And now I see business as something completely diverse. Like everything could be happening or evolving, being created. And still, so many people say a business is only a business when you sell something. A business is only a business when you solve a problem. A business is only a business if you grow. And I think it is really important to question it, because for me, it's simply not true. I know tons of businesses who don't solve a problem. I mean, when you think about designer or artists, or we have so many businesses that just repeat each other and just have slightly differences that are not connected to the one is solving a problem and the other one is not. So it's not anymore really about solving a problem. And also it's not really about growing because we know right now already that where do we want to grow? There's nowhere to grow anymore. So there are really a lot of things happening right now that tell us that the way we thought what is business and what is not, it's not true anymore.
We're also living now that not only the paradigm is shifting, but also the environmental problems are so pressing that I think no business can future just say we're growing at all costs. But there are so many new values now coming in, like our ideas, how you can create a regenerative business, how you can make a sustainable business, how you can create a business that does not grow, that's very diverse, or that creates something without destroying anything, but that even adds to the whole. Maybe we can also, I think there's this beautiful holistic view of this question. Are you adding to the whole with your business or are you extracting from the whole? And my sense is that there's a whole new generation that really wants to add to the whole and not extract in the sense of destroying more than you create here. So we don't only have the business idea, but maybe also the ethic and necessity of a world that is ending, that has ending resources, and a new generation that comes with a total different mindset now, meeting like my generation or older, who might still be in this growth mindset. And I really feel that this new generation and hope is going to convince the older generation that we need something new, and that we maybe also need to draw in a little bit more of the wisdom that's around, not only the knowledge and technology, but also wisdom that you bring in your podcast and in your writing as well, like the wisdom of the youth, but the wisdom also of older people and the wisdom of the world and of old wisdom traditions. So how do you see that could help us to maybe go back to other basics, not maybe business basic, but to the basic knowledge of what it means to be human and what we have learned here? I don't know if you can do anything with this question, if this isn't a question at all. Let's see what you do with that.
Yeah, I really hope that this is true for my generation, but I also see in my generation this extreme entrepreneurial hype, which also means that a lot of unconscious people creating a lot of unconscious things. And by creating so-called solutions, you create a lot of new problems. So I see this too. And for me, it is a constant journey I developed myself, because I always said I don't want to do coachings, because there are so many business coaches right now in the outside world, on social media, that will tell you that business with new, I don't know, business with new paradigms or business with new approaches or the new business of our generation. And they will tell you the five tricks to go there. But in the end, they're reproducing the old paradigms in new clothes. So I think this also was a reason why I really rejected the idea of becoming a coach, or even creating an online course, even doing anything with business. And for me right now, it is really about slowing down. What it means to become conscious means for me to slowing down, because on the speed that I have operated before, I can't see clear. This is what I know now. And you could also say you're doing this podcast for 1.5 years. You could also be somewhere else. You could have like 100,000 of listeners by now. But you know, what I am doing and what means for me to stay conscious is to show up as I am right now and not waiting until I get this and this certificate or doing this and this or getting this and this requirements to start something. I am developing really as I go. As I say, always growing, I grow as I go. And I really do that. This means for me to stay conscious and bringing an openness, a vulnerability into my generation or in this entrepreneurship field that I am in. And this is the only contribution I can make to show up as I am, as conscious as possible for me right now.
I mean, you also started to work with Conscious Consulting Group with us, and you are an inherent part of Conscious Consulting Group. And you once told me, yeah, also working with us has again changed your perception and your worldview, and you now see things differently again. So, and I think that's always so interesting that people. Also, you take another leap and another leap, then you think you've gotten somewhere, and then you're moving on again. So what was that last leap that you took? What changed for you?
Yeah, I mean, what a ride with you guys. What a learning curve. Incredible. Like, since I first did the podcast conversation with you, where you mentioned also that many social entrepreneurs are not having this positive impact on a world that they wish they would because they're unconscious of what they're doing, I was like, oh, what is that? I never heard something like this. So something so fundamental, but really shook up my, yeah, everything that I knew about business and everything I thought I know about business. And then, yeah, diving deeper and deeper into conscious consulting, I learned more about Taoism, more about Taoism, more about Buddhism, and more about also what you always say, like business is made of non-business ingredients. And this really has a massive impact in how I think and how I feel about business right now. And this is, not always easy to process while having consistently to speak about business in a podcast every 1 week or every 2 weeks now. So right now I'm also adjusting to, okay, what does this all mean? What does it mean for my business world, for the topics that I want to bring in. So you introduced me also to so many new concepts or like ideas. Taoism changed a lot for me as well in thinking, in not always putting categories on everything or even putting names on the podcast or not always judging about the present moment, not always knowing about where to go, about the separation, for example, of this, what is, where am I starting, where am I ending, where is the business starting, where is the business ending, but just seeing everything as a whole. Also with the touches of quantum physics, we are sometimes going in conscious consulting. So there are so many things I am so thankful to have welcomed in my life, and also in through me in the Business Basics podcast. It is not always easy to bring in all of those things, but I think it is important to continue as you learn. Yeah. Because I think many, many people have the same thing. They develop them as they're going, or in the opposite, they are waiting until they have the clarity, which may may or may not arrive. And I think that I really try to think always of value over perfection. So even if I don't know how to figure out everything with the transformation I am in right now with you guys and also the mindful meditation teacher training, the coaching training I'm in right now, my master's degree on business development I'm in right now. It's important for me to show up and create a little bit value, because I think that people are also needed.
Yes, obviously people need it. Sometimes they don't know it yet, but this is maybe the emotional guidance that you can give. Lisa, what is the question, apart from the last question that I've got, of course, I'm not forgetting, is what is a question you wish I had asked you during this conversation?
Oof.
If there is any. I asked you a lot.
Wow. Wow. Tricky question, but very good question. I will remember that for my interviews. Very thought provoking. But I have a follow up question for you instead. And as I am now also developing or going more and more into the role of a consultant myself, and especially as a junior consultant at CCG, what do you think will be the challenges for a 20-year-old going into consulting today?
You're not 20, you'll be a little bit...
28.
I understood.
Did
20.
I say 20? Oh, man.
I understood it, but I don't know what to say. Well, I think the key challenge that you have is to acknowledge that you can bring in a lot of value, which is something I struggled with a lot when I was a young consultant. I thought I'm not there yet, and I have to learn a lot and so on, which is true in one sense, it is true. But on the other side, it's just something that a beginner's mind and a perspective. And as I said, the wisdom of the youth is really important for clients, because they are, most of them, like leaders are like my age, like mid and 40s or older. And for them, it's extremely valuable to get a perspective of someone who is 28 years old, because these are also the talents that they should be here. So how you see the world, you can bring in your own experience, like having grown up in a totally different context, having been young, a teenager in a time where we were already older, the challenges that you're struggling with. And I think also giving them feedback, being a mirror for leaders, how they are being viewed from your perspective, which I really don't see. I don't see that age has a hierarchy. I don't feel like older people are more worth than younger people, but I don't also think that younger people are more worth than older people, because we have the problem in both directions. I just see that there is a difference in the perspective, and only together we can see the whole elephant. And so I think it's extremely important also in my consulting team is to have people from another generation there, but to, at the other side, also bring in a certain level of capacities, of experience, of ability to distinct, of self-reflection, of way to go. So being 28 is for sure not good enough to be a consultant, or not sufficient, and also being my age is not sufficient. So there are so many more things than age, like who you are, your personality, that you bring with, and your preparedness to take a risk, because consulting is difficult and it's risky, and you expose yourself and you get a lot of feedback and you get a lot of like valuation. And it's even I struggle sometimes. Am I worthy? Am I good enough? Do I bring enough value for the money I get? So these are topics that are very, very challenging, but they also help you to grow. So yes, I think you have the same challenges that we have at every age. That's not so much of a difference. The challenge is really to know your value and how valuable you are. And that's hard without being, you know, thinking, well, I'm so great. It has nothing to do with narcissism or thinking I'm so great and they don't know nothing. That doesn't work in consulting anyway. You won't get very far with this and you're not in danger anyway. But there's some hybrids also there. But knowing that your opinion is as important as my opinion, that your perceptions is as interesting as my perception. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds really humane. Unlike maybe if I would have asked another consultant, the question would have been completely different.
That's possible. And I was never asked this question before, but this was what immediately came to my mind: to accept and respect your own value. Yeah. And also the value of others, by that way. And that's a hard way. It sounds as if it were easy, but it is not.
Yeah.
You need a lot of, you have to know yourself and you have to be very crystal clear about who you are. And this is, I think, one of the hardest challenges we all have together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very excited about this process. And also here, again, I think this grounding can help also with that.
Oh, it's not only that it can help. It is, for me, the main, I would say, that the most important part of being a consultant is the work you do with yourself.
Mm.
That's the key. Who are you when you're entering a room? Who are you when you meet the client? Who are you when you ask a question? So you can learn all the technology, mm-hmm. and it's very important to know it. It's very important to have this mastery, this technical mastery, to know how to use a flip chart and to know how to design a workshop and how a process and all about organization design and group dynamics and whatever, meditation. But really the key intervention, as we say, the key impact is your nervous system, is who are you, your personality and your ability of being present in the present moment and notice what's going on around you. If you're distracted, if you think about the evening in a situation, you won't cope it because you mm-hmm. have to function and experience and react on so many levels, and you have to be very conscious about yourself and about the situation, about others.
Mm-hmm.
And without this self-awareness, it won't work. I mean, it works on a technical level. You can be a technical consultant, but you cannot really work in the field of transformation and development, which is our field, obviously. Yeah. And this is also something I learned, that what made a difference with my clients was not so much all the experience I gained over the years. Of course, you learn to see things, but also my own personal development made a huge difference for me and for others. And so this is the grounding and the being able
mm-hmm.
to stand in the moment, and it can get very difficult. You get sometimes rough feedback and you get in situations that are really, really challenging on a personal basis, and you have to be prepared and then enjoy the process.
Sounds like the right challenge for a constant lifelong learner.
Oh yeah.
I'm on it.
it is really one of the job where you can potentially get better with every year, and even do the job when you're very old and when you're very young, interesting enough. But I think the combination will be great. So I'm looking forward to have a another great project with you, Lisa. I think we can learn a lot from each other. And I also consider myself as somebody who can learn at least as much from you than the other way around. You're also a teacher for me. So everybody is a teacher. But there are some people who are even, I would say, teacher processes that I enjoy more than others. Mm. Let's say it like this. So Lisa, let's slowly come to the end of this amazing conversation. And I'm now so happy to ask you that question that you ask everyone on the CCG Conscious Consulting podcast. And I'm very curious about your answer. So what is the secret to a good life?
You know what? I completely forgot about this question. I did not prepare. I completely forgot that you would ask me this question because you didn't write it to me.
Yeah.
I think it really comes down to the three things I said before for me. This having this big vision, knowing, at least having the skills to know what you're doing, and enjoying the process. And enjoying the process is what I have to become better at a lot. But this is also, as I become better in it, this is what really makes a good life for me. Really enjoying the present moment and being aware of what is in the present moment so that I can enjoy.
Thank you very much for this insightful conversation. And I can just advise everyone to listen to the Business Basics podcast by Lisa Maria Centeno. And we are very much looking forward to work more together, to hear more from you. There will be offerings also from you via Conscious Consulting Group, but also the business podcast. So we'll also have all the links there, how people can reach you and also enjoy your wisdom and your big heart and your smart ass and your courage and your way being so committed and so supportive everywhere. So thank you for being here, and
thank you so much for having me.
See you soon.
Wonderful to be on your other side. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this episode of the Conscious Consulting Podcast. If you want to dive deeper into the field of conscious consulting, become a part of our community, visit ccg-group.eu and subscribe to our newsletter so we can stay connected. You will find the link in the show notes. We look forward to having you on board.